Fab Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have Paula Bovin joining us via Skype for our usual Monday conversation. News and notes, AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. That is coming up. A few other things we're working on as well. We are all in the mode of it's over with. The Super Bowl is done. Was it you, Eric, that yesterday put up on Twitter about how today should be declared a paid national holiday? Was it you?
It was.
Yeah.
And I'm still befuddled all these years why they continue to have Super Bowl Sunday on a Sunday. If you have 2 weeks off, put the game on a Saturday. Please.
Why?
So people can have the rest of the weekend to recover. You know how
big. Are you hungover today?
I am not hungover.
You don't drink.
I don't drink a lot. I'm not hungover.
Much.
But I am hungover, if that makes sense. I'm just sort of in a lull. Usually Mondays, I'm not in a lull.
Yeah.
Today, it's just sort of, you know, the car is moving, but it's not going. I'm in the right lane on the freeway. I'm not in the left lane or the middle lane. So
that's good. That's good. Cam Newton was hit 13 times in Super Bowl 50. He was hit an average of 3.5 times per game this season. Had not been hit more than 6 times in any game since entering Super Bowl 50. So my takeaway from the game yesterday was pretty straightforward, because I look at things through the lens of what does the team in the city that I live in need to do to get to that level? So we have the hometown heroes here are the Cardinals. And although we had Bronco parties in our neighborhood and all that stuff, people haven't figured out that they don't live in Denver anymore, and it's fine. The Cardinals don't have the pass rush. It's what Bruce Arians talked about and Steve Keim talked about, Michael Bidwell talked about. They've all talked about it. So last night on full display, when Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware were on the field last night, Cam Newton completed one pass when they rushed him. So they're on the field a lot more than that, but they rushed him 13 times, the two together. And those 13 times, he only had one completion. Von Miller was so easy to call him as the MVP of the game because he just tore it up. Cam Newton had no shot, had no chance, no way, no how. This wasn't about Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning wasn't anything great last night, in my opinion. It was a great story, but it wasn't like I was watching greatness in action. And if you're a Broncos fan, even you would have to admit that. Like, it was weird the last few days. If I talked to somebody who was a Bronco fan, they were, I just hope Peyton is done, retires, because I don't want to lose Brock Osweiler. Like, Brock Osweiler is anointed this great player. Maybe that's because he was here at Arizona State and he bailed on Todd Graham and he's held a clipboard and done the ball cap thing. And now the Bronco fans want the next great deal. I don't think there's anybody that wants to see Peyton Manning come back. I mean, maybe if you're a fan of the Los Angeles Rams, because the story is, if in fact he decides to play another season, the Rams are going to come after him. And they'd love to have him go to LA. Makes a lot of sense on a lot of business level. Look, we saw Peyton Manning's business acumen last night at work. When the game ended and he's got the guy from Papa John's next to him on the sideline and kisses him, and then he drops the reference to a beer, that's not something that just, oh, I can't believe I said that. That's scripted. That's business. That's the biggest stage, and I'm going to take care of my sponsor or the people that I want to be associated with, because now I'm setting up my post-NFL career. It's just business. It wasn't like it just popped into his head, yeah, I'm going to go pop this beer, and all of a sudden, everything's going to be great. That's business people alongside of him, or him going to business people and saying, so we got this company over here that's interested in you. Kind of like the next time he drives a Buick, I'll believe that for the first time. That's just how I'm wired. So, you know, if Peyton moves on, fine. The people that were disappointed that he didn't announce his retirement last night, again, you have to understand what you're dealing with here. You're dealing with somebody who knows his industry inside and out. He is not going to sit there on the largest stage at that moment and put himself in front of the game. That's not who he is. And it's also not going to have as big of an impact. Like, I just find it hard to believe that Peyton Manning will go to Denver and show up at the Broncos facility, and that'll be packed, and that's where he'll announce that he's not coming back anymore. To me, he's the type of person that would do something, not like LeBron did, that went really bad when LeBron announced the decision. It's not something like that. But it wouldn't surprise me to see him do a late night show. Something, you know, wouldn't surprise me to see him do it in a completely different environment. If I'm a guy like Phil Simms, I'm really nervous today about my job, my future, because when Peyton Manning announces that he's going to retire, immediately these networks will fall all over themselves, whether he's any good or not, and stick him in to be the A number one analyst for the Super Bowl. Today, I'm seeing on social media a lot of people unhappy with Phil Simms' performance last night. Guys, the game wasn't any good. Let's just be really straightforward with one another. That was not a well-played football game. Now, I'll get the guys that have been covering the Super Bowls for 20, 30, 40 years that will say, well, you're just not as in tune as you once were. No, you know what? There's a reason why the ratings for this game do so well, and they don't do, they still do great. Okay, don't get me wrong. But they don't do Super Bowl numbers except once a year. Because the fringe people, the people who don't even like sports, finally come over and watch and sample the product a little bit. If you're watching that product last night, Eric, was it a good game for you?
No.
Just aesthetically?
No. It wasn't, because I had this conversation at the Super Bowl gathering that I was at. I was watching it with several Bronco fans, and we sort of got into a discussion about how a close game doesn't necessarily make it a great game.
A great game. No, that's true.
And just because there was drama and some intrigue last night, there were way too many penalties. And
16?
Where is the gray area between good defense and just really bad offense? I mean, the Broncos almost won the Super Bowl and didn't score an offensive touchdown. Think about that.
Well, it's Ted Ginn dropping footballs. I saw Ted Ginn do that here in Arizona. It's Jericho Cotchery and Ted Ginn as your wide receivers. This goes back to a conversation that we had a few weeks back that when Aaron Rodgers is throwing to a couple of dudes and looking at who Kurt Warner was throwing to when he played and when Carson Palmer was throwing to when he played with the Cardinals, like the last few quarterbacks with the Cardinals, are you kidding me? It's been lights out for them. Last night, I'm watching Jericho Cotchery. Greg Olsen was taken away for the most part. He really was. Cam Newton's and how Cam handled his post game. So here's a little bit from that. I want to get into this here ahead of time. Cam Newton not saying much of anything. So here is the losing quarterback from the Super Bowl. Here's Cam Newton. So I'm watching that. And I told Eric, I said, I don't want to see this until for the first time. So I'm watching this for the first time. It's a quarterback who's pissed that he lost in the Super Bowl. So there's going to be people that have deadlines and are there to write, and their story wasn't written for them, and they're going to pound on the guy. I get it. I'm fine with this. I don't have a problem. He walked off after 4.5 minutes. He gave them something. He's never been in that position before. I'm not going to sit there and say, the easy thing to say is to pile on him. I've never been there. I've never been a losing quarterback of a Super Bowl. I've never been somebody that has been so over-the-top confident and lost on the biggest stage. So I can't put myself in Cam Newton's shoes. But when I look at him, I'm not going to sit here and pound on him. Should Cam Newton have acted differently after the Super Bowl? It's just grumpy guys in our profession that aren't getting their sound bites. That's how I see that. Disagree?
I do. I mean, it's such a fine line, because I, too, understand his frustration. If it were Jericho Cotchery or
Nobody cares about
Ted,
Jericho Cotchery.
Exactly.
Nobody cares.
You're talking about the MVP of the league, okay? You're talking about one of the faces of the NFL. If you remember back to the way Russell Wilson handled his business last year, and I know, oh, Russell Wilson's a robot, da-da-da-da. I can see, but I understand Cam's frustration, but if you're going to live in the good, you also have to live in the bad. And let's be honest, Cam hasn't had a lot of bad in the last few years on the field. Off the field, right, you know, with the car accident, some of the other things. I don't want to get too I don't want to jump in the pool too deep on this, but I was a little disappointed, because you have to hold yourself to a higher standard. You are the league MVP.
Okay, here's the one thing I would say about that. He showed up dressed to the nines or tens or twenties.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see him like that. That's very simple. Like, do we ever see Fitz after a game? Doesn't matter what. We never see Fitz do anything until he is done and knotted up and ready to go about his business. So, and I think that that's a professional attitude. When you're on this biggest stage and you're the loser, you're gracious. The Denver Broncos outplayed us. I don't know what happened tonight. I'll bounce back from this. Our team will bounce back from this, or my team, because he's been so much. The part of the game where he didn't fall on the football is more concerning to me, much, much, much more concerning to me than that.
And you and I, Brad, understand the back workings inside a professional franchise. And I don't know what was said between the Panthers PR department and Cam Newton after the game, but it very well could have been the fact that someone didn't sit him down. Yeah, I know they have to rush him up to the stage and they have to do it, and there's not a cool down period, and that's a whole nother story. But
cool down period. So Eric's giving the backstory, guys. So cool down period. Typically, what happens is guys have 15, 20 minutes. Some PR people come over there and say, "Go through this, go through this, go through this," or they're on their own, and so you don't want somebody going off and going crazy.
Exactly.
Like Richard Sherman last year to Aaron Andrews and all that stuff.
That's very important.
Even though we love it.
Of course.
People want to see it.
Yeah. But there's still that element of that's what the PR department is there to do.
Sure.
You are supposed to prepare these athletes for what they're going to face when they enter these press conferences. So,
him not saying anything. And look, I'm the guy that sat here for the last few weeks and said I don't like the celebration stuff early in games and all that. He had nothing going last night. And the Broncos turned it around, and they celebrated all over the top of him. But when there is a loose football, and you are there just staring and watching it, and you are the leader, and you are the face, and when everything's great, and you're not diving on top of this football, and you're going to get pounded, that is much, much more troubling to me, because that is going to come up over and over and over. And if within a locker room, it doesn't matter if it's a pro football locker room at the Super Bowl, your business, my business, doesn't matter. If I'm not willing to jump on the grenade or jump on the football to save my teammates, then my teammates are going to look at me a little different. If I'm sick and I just take every day off because I'm sick and I don't feel like doing a show, then my teammates are going to look at me and say, I'm not going to follow that guy. I'm not going to be part of that guy. When times are really bad and I go hide in a room, they're not going to follow me. It's the same thing with you and your business. If you're the boss, or if you're the worker, and you don't respect your boss because when times are bad, you can't find him, or you can't find her, and the door is closed. Same deal with Cam Newton last night. Ball's loose on the field and he's not going to lay out for it. That's a real problem. You know, that's a problem to me. And I don't know how you get through that, because is that just a little bit deeper than what we've seen here? If the Panthers start out 0-3, 0-4, they're going to be teammates that tune Cam Newton out. You know, I would have to say, not knowing that locker room, not knowing that team up and down, but I think it's only natural. I've seen that in sports through the years. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Paul Abovin in about 10 minutes. You know, I'm watching the ads on the game yesterday. Twitter was great. I've read where Twitter is on the decline, and Facebook has this new feature. I didn't get over to it. Did you do Stadium on Facebook yesterday? Did you see that?
Uh-uh.
I was out in California, and the LA Times did a big write-up on it on their business section on Saturday, and I was going to go over and try it, but I got wound up on Twitter, even though Twitter supposedly is starting to go away from society, and there's some different things that are coming on. Dogs, cats, monkeys. I'm into chimps on Super Bowl Sunday. For whatever reason, let's just throw up animals and we'll do fine. And so as the Super Bowl's progressing and the game's not very good, I actually found myself, and I'll probably be the only one, I was going back and forth between golf, because Ricky Fowler just played with both hands around his neck rather than his driver. And there were 617,000 fans that went out to golf. And the Super Bowl. I was going to play in the Super Bowl, back over to golf. Play in the Super Bowl, back to golf. It was a four-hole playoff that went well into the first quarter. So I did miss some of the commercials to begin with, but it's not why I watched the game. And as the game progressively got worse and worse, and you could see that, okay, it's going to come down to the final few minutes, which sounds great, but when both teams are just throwing flags everywhere, balls being dropped, I started paying more attention to the commercials. So I guess today, Eric, it came out that the most favorite commercial, I don't know why I put it that way, but USA Today did a poll, and of course they did. And it was this dating commercial from Hyundai, which was named the most favorite by fans this year. It was fine. It wasn't anything too over the top. I guess because my daughters have already gone through first date experience, it was okay. We have the dogs here. And we could show a little bit of the dogs. I know I'm jumping around, but that's where I'm at. The dogs that were part, because you're a dog guy. So this was fine. This was fine. And because you have rescue dogs, you probably really like this. This appealed to you, right?
Yeah, and I'm just sort of a sucker for dog commercials, like you said.
So you know what's going on here, where they have people in a marketing room and they say, hey, we're going to be involved in the Super Bowl this year. Now, being involved in the Super Bowl once upon a time would seem to me to be a point of pride, and it's great, smart business because there's millions and millions of people that are there.
And the best part of that commercial is the little ketchup packet, the little kid that's a ketchup packet, if you saw it on the stream. So
yeah, it's,
see, right. That, thank you, Jared. See the little ketchup packet, little girl. She's like, you know, when you go to a fast food restaurant and get the little ketchup.
It's fine. It's fine.
It was cute.
It was fine.
It's cute.
So, but as the years have gone by, I have to wonder, really, do they all just kind of run together? Like, I don't know how many cars were trying to be sold yesterday. I don't know how many car manufacturers were in there yesterday. They were all over the place. So to me, they just kind of ran together.
And the novelty, I think, is starting to wear off for Super Bowl commercials.
No, that's
especially
my point.
And especially, Brad, because a lot of these, I didn't watch them, but quite a few of these were leaked last week. So you could find them online if you just did a YouTube search of Super Bowl 50 commercials, and they'd have a whole stream of them.
But to me, it's like, why would I take time out of my day to search out a commercial? It's like my wife last week, I came home and she's watching the Boomer Esiason Super Bowl special. And I just looked at her and said, really, you're watching a show that's just showing commercials? She's like, yeah, I know.
Maybe that's the reason the Super Bowl was almost like 3 hours and 45 minutes last night. Man, did that game take a long time.
But like the puppy monkey baby spot was just stupid.
It was kind of odd.
I don't care. I had a moment in last night's game. We don't have the Super Bowl baby commercial. I didn't ask you for that one, but I'll just say it. So the commercial, you remember the one where they show all the kids towards mm-hmm. the end? And I started seeing it on Twitter, and people are going, Super Bowl baby, Super Bowl baby. So my daughter, this will be too TMI, but that's what the show's all about. One of my daughters is a Super Bowl halftime baby. The Chargers are playing the 49ers. It's the way it goes. We got 10 seconds. Boom. Let's have, you know. So I put on Twitter, at Brenna Sissy.
Yeah, this is way too much information.
I
don't need details. I don't need to know when it happened, how long it took.
So it was at halftime during the second commercial break.
This is me not listening.
And so then my son says, really? I never knew that. And I see other people that are on Twitter and on Facebook that are saying, yeah, this is when we had a Super Bowl baby. So was it effective? Was it cute? I don't know. It's a different way to look at it. It's all a show, like the halftime show. Did I miss Left Shark this year? Sure, I missed Left Shark this year. Did I see Beyonce and wonder the girl behind her who was like all legs and no arms? Like, where does this girl play basketball somewhere? I will take her on my team. It was the girl like on the right-hand side beyond Beyonce. It's Beyonce. It's fine. I wanted to see more of Coldplay. Did they take over the show? Was it more the Beyonce show? Yeah, it was lip-synced. All that stuff's lip-synced. So people losing their minds over if it's lip-synced or not.
And I'm a bit concerned because, you know, you love to clown on me about things, and we're 30 minutes into the show, and you have not asked me about how my prop bets turned out. I thought that was going to be, like, right off the top of the show.
No.
Today. Okay.
Because I don't care. No, I'm just kidding. What'd you bet on? How'd your prop bets go?
I had four bets. I just love talking about my bets because I only bet the Super Bowl, literally.
You didn't bet on Mike Carey being wrong? Like, when
no.
Mike Carey was wrong again, I laughed out loud. It was just too good. It's like you write a movie script, and we're going to take this referee who supposedly is at the top of his business for this network, and they pay him money. And every time that he shows up and says, this is what's going to be ruled on, he's wrong. He was wrong again yesterday. How can you not be amused by that?
You could have bet on that. I did not.
I know that was up there.
Yeah,
well, might Carey be wrong?
It was.
And we never, I don't know if they put him on a plane before halftime and said, you're gone. Please leave. Like Jay Feely was on the broadcast. Jay's going to be with us tomorrow. I texted with him this morning, and he's on a flight now, so we'll do him tomorrow. I thought it was smart to have Jay Feely on the broadcast, a special teams component. He only made one appearance in front of a gazillion people. It's good. I had no problems with Jim Nance yesterday, although I think he and Phil Simms at times sounded like, man, this game blows. Like you could hear it during, they go to the break, and they're probably talking back and forth to the truck like, what are we supposed to make out of this slop, and can they throw a few more penalty flags on it? Tracy Wolfson asked Peyton Manning the question. Of course she did. The other sideline guy, I don't remember his name, he was fine. It wasn't like I can sit here and hate on it, but I miss Left Shark. I'll be honest.
Tracy Wolfson's dress was interesting. I liked it.
What are you talking about her dress?
Well, she always dresses so, like, nice, but so... simple would be the right word.
Oh my gosh.
She had on like kind of a little sexy outfit.
Wow, listen
good.
To you.
Yeah, it was good.
Attaboy.
Caught my attention.
Attaboy. So.
Oh yeah, my prop bets you asked me about.
Yeah, how'd you do?
Okay, here
what'd
we go.
What'd you bet on?
I bet four different prop bets. I took the under in the national anthem with Lady Gaga. And initially I thought I lost.
Yeah.
But I actually won because she repeated the very last few words. And so everyone thought, oh, the over came in, but since she repeated it, they just cut it off.
How much money did you get?
I won like $6, I think, on that one.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
We're
not
having a conversation about $6. I want you to go out on a limb.
No.
You work here. You have big budgets to work with.
Clearly, I don't.
Okay, so what was the next one?
I bet that no team would score in the first 6.5 minutes. Loser.
Wrong. Why would you take that bet?
Because the last 7 years, there hasn't been... There's only been a couple teams that have scored in the entire first quarter. Usually teams start slow.
Yeah.
I bet that there would be no defensive or special teams touchdowns scored in the game.
Yeah.
Loser.
Yeah.
And then I won.
But you only lost $6. So
and then I won
problem?
With Peyton Manning throwing at least 0.5 interceptions because he was due, and he did throw a pick. He could have thrown a few of them.
What was it? I saw the Wall Street Journal called it Cam Newton's performance was a tractor pull, a good old-fashioned tractor pull.
That's funny.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good. You have to have fun at this stuff. I mean, a game as sloppy as last night's was, and anybody who's going to try to tell me, well, you're just not a fan of football, you know, no, when there's flags in double-digit numbers, that's never a good thing. So that caught my eye. Let me get over here a little bit on away from the Super Bowl to a few other things, because if I don't talk about, we're the only market in America that's not doing a little bit, at least on another event because the Super Bowl was yesterday. But we're the only market in America that draws 617,000 people to watch golf. And actually, most are not there to watch golf. So we have some pictures from yesterday out of the Open, actually this weekend at the Open, of how absolutely crazy it is. There were more fans out there on Saturday. It was the second most attended sporting event in the history of our country on Saturday. Over 200,000 people, okay? It's like, I think it's Daytona 500's number one at 220,000. So you know that the Thunderbirds and the people that put this event together are going to think about that. Look at that. Look at that. 27 boxes at $50,000 apiece. Do the math.
Their slogan was great this year, by the way.
Yeah.
The people's major. Well done, marketing. Well done.
Okay, and this is without Jordan Spieth and without Rory McIlroy.
And that other guy.
And without the kid named Tiger.
Uh-huh.
And they put out just ungodly numbers. I went out there Thursday, and you could barely move, and it was awesome to walk behind the 23-year-old who's already just gone. She's just blank-faced, and she's got her heels on, and she's tripping in the grass. You can't script this stuff.
You know what else you can't script? Perfect weather, something they didn't get last year.
Not true.
Friday, the Friday before the Super Bowl, it was rainy and cold and miserable. So,
but you went out there yesterday?
I did. Yeah, and there was nobody there. 16? I mean, there was nobody there.
There was 60,000 people there, which is like the John Deere Classic for a whole weekend.
But it didn't seem like there were a lot of people compared to Friday and Saturday. So I did go to 16. It was a lot of fun.
Ricky Fowler broke down. He should have. I watched it, and I didn't watch any of the pregame nonsense on the Super Bowl. I watched Ricky Fowler, and he did play with both hands around his neck rather than his driver. And I like Ricky Fowler a lot. Fans like Ricky Fowler a lot. So it was tough for him, and I hope he comes back from it. Because, look, golf would be a much better place if Ricky were winning every week. Yesterday's golf, the people that only pay attention to ratings don't look at the big picture and see the sporting competitive side of it. Matsuyama played really well. Takes too long to swing. Takes forever to swing. Like, I thought Johnny Miller was going to, at some point, jump out of the booth and say, swing the freaking club. But it was great. And 618,000 people in our valley at one event. I mean, you just can't even begin to fathom that many people showing up. And they want to keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. I don't know if it's like the housing bubble at some point that's going to burst. I don't know that. Paula is next. She was out there, and her thoughts on the Super Bowl and much, much more. That's Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. That is our site, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic every day. They carry our show for a couple of hours over on AZ Central. Appreciate the partnership, and we're back with Paula Bovin next.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
So I was going to catch up with Paula Bovin, my friend, AZ Central sports columnist. She joins us via Skype. Where are you? You're not at home.
I am at the Cronkite Building at Arizona State in my office, if you must know.
Oh, that's right. Professor Bovin is with us today. It's Monday.
Yeah, that's right.
Paula. Well, that looks great. Okay, so the Super Bowl, what is your big takeaway first with the Super Bowl?
My big takeaway was, what if the Cardinals had that kind of pass rush? Because that's exactly how you beat Cam Newton. And I couldn't help but think of that Cardinals game when I was watching it, because it just showed where the Cardinals were really lacking. That's what I thought, frankly.
And is it fixable? Because there's not many Von Millers out there. Okay, that's the thing, is how do you fix it if you're the Cardinals? Do you feel like you're that much further away because there's nobody out there like him? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally get what you mean, but I don't think you have to be Von Miller to get at Cam. I mean, you obviously need a couple of different parts, and that's what the Cardinals are lacking. You're not going to find anyone at his skill level. But I think if you just take some strides in that area, it would make such a big difference. And that really was such a key in that Cardinals game. So, and have a good plan of attack. I thought Denver, just their schemes and their strategy were fantastic, because we saw how good Cam was against the Cardinals. And I just thought that Denver had a great game plan. More importantly, though, had the right personnel on defense.
Paula Bovin joining us, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist from her office, which is at the Cronkite School. It's very clear that Paula is now newly put into this office because there's nothing behind her. Do we have a picture of us, Eric? We could just put something behind her. I mean, we should dress her up. Do you guys want a potted plant down there? Anything? Cactus?
That'd be nice. Something, you know, yeah.
Come
something.
On, let's spice this up a little bit. I don't know. Okay, so Cam Newton not responding well to reporters' questions, to me, is I've never been in a position where I've lost a Super Bowl. These are reporters that are on deadline. They would like their stories to be written. They would like to get very good quotes from him to spice up their story. They didn't. Thus, they're going to crush him and just murder him for not giving them what they want. You're in that profession. Should he have dressed professionally afterwards? In my opinion, yes. He's never been in a space where people have gotten on him to respond better to media. So I'm having a hard time burying him because I've never lost a Super Bowl. That's how you're supposed to be, in my view. What about you?
Yeah, you know, I didn't think I was going to agree on you on this one, Brad, but I understand you have to address what happened last night. It's significant. You want to hear more. People are going to wonder why they didn't hear more. Obviously, his body language was not great. But the bottom line is, this is something none of us can appreciate. You know, that's all Cam Newton has spent this season doing is preparing for this moment. Excuse me, and preparing for, you know, thinking he was going to get a victory. Excuse me, Brad.
Don't die
so
on me. Don't
of course
die on
he's
me.
Disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
You need a water? I can tap dance for a little bit. Go ahead. I drink coffee on
Thank
the
you,
air.
Brad. Yeah, let me
it's
drink.
Paula Bovin, who's downing. That's a monster Diet Coke. Don't spill it all over the camera there. Crying out loud. Okay.
Yeah, that would be bad.
That would Sorry, no, actually be great. We'd love it.
All
that's,
right, I'm back.
That's great stuff.
Yeah, I think people are hammering him a little too hard. I just think he's at this level none of us can really understand. You're on this huge stage. You have expectations all season of something happening, and it doesn't. So, yeah, disappointed. He'll learn from it. Yeah, we can ding him about it. But to make this, you know, a national incident, what's wrong with Cam Newton? No, he's still fairly a young guy who's learning. I don't think there's a need to get hysterical about it.
Okay, anything else from the Super Bowl that you want to get in? Because I'm going to jump over to the Open. You got anything else from the Super Bowl? I don't care if it's the halftime show, if you miss Left Shark, I don't care. But
I mean, the game itself, I enjoyed the halftime show. I know some people have been ripping it and everything else, but I thought Lady Gaga was fantastic doing the national anthem. So
yeah, Eric there liked Eric thought Tracy Wolfson looked kind of cute. So that's the takeaway from him. Was it cute or
very
hot?
Nice.
I forget.
Yeah.
I think it was hot. I don't want to put words in my mouth.
Probably, yeah.
Kinda hot is
kinda
what I
hot,
said.
Kinda hot. Okay, we got it. Okay, over at the Open. So Bubba Watson says some things about how he didn't like the tournament and the course, and he was only here because Ping's his sponsor. And he ends up getting harassed by fans out on the course. So he said he's going to come back. The Open was terrific. I don't want this to be the overriding story, but there's going to come a point when you have 617,000 people in one place that not all of them are going to act normal and say things that are polite. So you have to know this going in. I think he's got to get tougher skin on one hand. On the other hand, what can the Open do on this front?
There's not much. You know, the bottom line is Bubba Watson is kind of a thin-skinned guy. There were a lot of people, when he came on the tour, everybody believed he had a lot of talent. They didn't know if he had the right demeanor to handle these kind of situations. And I think he's grown over the course of a couple, over the years on the tour, over a decade now. But the bottom line is, every couple years, Bubba says something he shouldn't say. He did it in France when they were playing over there. He's done it at other tournaments where he was caught on the mic, on a mic, kind of ripping the course or the fans or the setup. And he doesn't have that filter, and he tends to always come back and apologize. And the reality is, there's a big fan base who loves the way he plays. He plays well for it. Certainly his style fits this course. And you know, it's going to happen, but he's also an emotional guy. I mean, there were tears again yesterday, just about all the grief he and his wife sort of took on Saturday, and he wasn't used to that kind of grief. It's part of the Open experience. So, again, and this is kind of, for me, a Cam Newton situation. Yeah, you shouldn't have said what you said, but this is a guy who has a propensity for putting his foot in his mouth and then apologizing for it. So I don't think it's a public incident. And I just don't. On the other question you asked, I don't think there's much that the Phoenix Open can do. I mean, this is part of the nature of this tournament. You know, you get a lot of fans, and you get fans that don't say nice things. And then you get, you get the atmosphere at 16. So I think it's just part of the fabric of this whole deal. And I just don't think it was that big a deal.
Is it becoming?
Even though I wrote about it like three times.
right. Well, and here's the thing: we keep wondering, is there going to be a bubble on this? Like, can the Open keep pushing the envelope? But clearly now it's become a story where they're going to try to go for the all-time attendance record in all of sports at some point. And NBC said yesterday it's 220,000. I've got some people emailing me saying, no, it's 400,000 at the Indianapolis 500. It's the week of the Super Bowl with no Jordan Spieth, with no Rory McIlroy, and no Tiger Woods. So clearly it doesn't matter who shows up to play. It's just something where people are going to be seen or see. That's it. Guys like myself and yourself probably don't even need to go out there, rather than the social reporters need to go out there now, because the golf's like second and third fiddle at the Open.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible. I mean, the scene Saturday was, I was in, just hung out with a crowd on Saturday, and I just couldn't believe it. And when the weather's as gorgeous as it was Saturday, mm-hmm. people are going to show, and it's a social event. And you know, there's the crazies at 16 who do their homework and know everything about every golfer, but a lot of the rest of the fans that are don't. And for, you know, 90% of the time, I think the golfers love that atmosphere. You know, they don't like to get booed. They don't like when people are taking pictures, and that stuff is going to happen. But I think it's great for the sport, and the PGA has to be thrilled that can continue to have this event on Super Bowl week, because no other tournament could probably withstand it and set records in the process. I mean, it's pretty incredible what they're doing over there, Brad.
I watched the playoff. I was actually going back and forth between the game because I was gripped by Matsuyama and Ricky Fowler. Johnny Miller said something that nobody heard because they're all watching the Super Bowl, but I heard it, so I thought it was great. He said the people that are here right now for this playoff are the true golf fans that are left. And he's right on that. It was a four-hole playoff. Ricky's caddy was getting pretty snippy with people and their camera phones. Mm-hmm. They had him say, just put your phones away. Get your phones away. Yeah. Really getting after guys because – he's in the moment. Phil said that the true golf fans, I'm paraphrasing what he said, the true golf fans are on 1 through 9, but on the back nine, there's very few people that are even paying attention to the golf tournament. So I don't know if there's a way to correct that, if it's just this is what it is and we should all enjoy it. I don't know. I don't know if it's turning into a freak show or not. I love the Open, but there's a side of it that at some point, it doesn't matter if it's a guy throwing an orange near Tiger Woods that's got a gun on him years ago, or now people getting on Bubba, eventually guys' feelings are going to get hurt out there. So that's my little rant.
Yeah, I mean, although it doesn't seem to be costing him that many, you know, I think that's, Brad, is if we start seeing more and more players say, hey, I'm not committing to this tournament, that's when you'll see changes. Until that happens, I don't think you're going to see much. You know, they could maybe beef up security a little more. I thought they did a nice job, but there's, you know, maybe there should be people near those crowds that are telling people to stop taking the pictures or whatever. But I just think as long as so many players on tour continue to come here, I don't think you're going to see many changes because they've got their players and they get the crowds. So.
All right. Well, it was good visiting with you. You really need to do something with that wall behind you. I prefer your dog walking in and out of the shot at home, but it's nice for you to jump on board from your other job, so thank you.
Yeah, I'll do better, Brad.
No, you're fine. There's Paula Bovin Skyping with us from her office. She offices. Not only is she office at the Arizona Republic, she offices over at the Cronkite School. It's pretty impressive there, Eric, don't you think, Professor Paula?
Oh, yeah, and it had the look of a classroom.
Yeah,
you know, with the
I would like to see her like professor certificate. Was it Illinois? She's an Illini uh-huh. grad.
She is.
You know, put that up on the wall behind her.
That'd be nice. But you see the door that's the classic classroom door that's, you know, wood, and then it has that little sliver window going down the left or right side.
I kind of like to see the Cronkite people just put her on their big major set and have a whole class, you know, let's Skype Paula for Brad show. Let's spice it up a little
bit. Yeah, you could work on that.
No, I can. I will.
You know people who know people.
Yeah, whatever. So do you. On the other side, a few more things. The Suns received some bad, bad news about an hour ago, and I'll share that with you, why it's bad, bad, bad news for them. And Kevin Durant is in town tonight. Should we be courting him? That's next. So there's some bad news if you're a fan of the Suns this morning I want to get into before the day is done, and that is the Knicks, about an hour and a half ago, fired Derek Fisher. They put Kurt Rambis in as their interim coach. So the Suns are going to be shopping for a head coach in this offseason. And yes, the Knicks have been a train wreck for a long, long time, and the Suns are currently a train wreck. But when you're competing against a market like Los Angeles or New York, to attract the best head coach, and it's not that there's more than one that's out there, and Phil Jackson pulls the plug on Derek Fisher, it means now for the Suns, you're going to be competing. Who knows what's going to happen with Byron Scott? Byron Scott out in L.A. is going on and on and on. If the Clippers get eliminated early, I think Doc's going to be in trouble. So there's going to be some really good coaches that come available, but the Knicks today fired Derek Fisher, so you keep an eye on that, and Kurt Rambis named the interim. Tonight, Oklahoma City is in the Valley. And I bring this up because Kevin Durant is going to be a free agent, and there's conversation about Steph Curry in Golden State, and that they've let it be known they want to pursue him. Washington, they want it to be known. The Suns thought they had something going to LaMarcus Aldridge to the point they put up a banner last year, and he said, no, I'm going to San Antonio. It's not happening. At some point, you would like to see Robert Sarver and the Suns find a way to attract big-name players to come back to Phoenix. By the way, did you guys use Charles's rant?
We did.
The best. I can't think of a better way to put the Suns that's like every last bit.
Really like the first 90 seconds of it. The last 2.5 kind of got a little bit repetitive and old.
No, I when he's talking about they put pickles on the nachos, that's another way of just saying they don't know what they're doing. There's plenty of parking down there, you pull right up. It was beautiful. But if you're going to try to attract Kevin Durant to come to Phoenix, because you should, there should be stories, Suns interested in Durant. There should be. It's not even a debate. The Suns pursuing Durant. Suns meet with Durant's agents. Suns do whatever they, because at some point, it doesn't matter how big the player is. You have to walk in there and say, we're the Phoenix Suns. We want big players here. So Kevin Durant's in town tonight. I would hope that the fans give him a loud ovation and make him feel welcome. It'd be nice to see one or two fans in the stands for the game. It'd be nice to have one or two fans in the stands holding up signs. We want KD in Phoenix or whatever it is.
I can't see that happening, but it would be nice to see that, right?
Well, every big free agent, for us to become a player again in basketball, at some point we have to have ownership that gets it from a basketball standpoint. Robert Sarver is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant man when it comes to making money for his partners. There cannot be one partner down there that's upset with how he's running his business. Can't be. You've doubled, almost tripled my investment. I love you. But just the public humiliation of having such a bad product, such a bad product. And the way that you change that is you go out and it doesn't matter. If you hire Steve Nash as a head coach and give him this roster, he's going to get his ass shot off.
And you know the NBA trade deadline's coming, so it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next
couple
of
weeks. Trade everybody
but
Devin Booker. It's fine. You know, Bledsoe's knee is going to be an issue. I don't want to do too much Suns today because it's just the same old stuff. But Kevin Durant is here tonight, and that's interesting to me. The Super Bowl commercial that I was most thrilled with, that I liked most, involved a movie. So I'm one of these guys that when I'm sitting there and Jason Bourne shows up, and it doesn't matter if it's on TNT, TBS, now American Movie Classics, like I'm old watching Jason Bourne. I'm not old. The last James Bond blew, but the last Bourne was pretty darn good. We have some of Bourne. I think we have a little bit of Bourne. Yeah, when this showed up, I was just thrilled because the game was dreadful. But Bourne is coming back, and it's Matt Damon that's going to be there this summer. And so this was my highlight of the night when it comes to Super Bowl. It was nothing else. This was the best commercial. Look at that. He's running through cars. What guy doesn't like that? He's taking down big dudes and laying them out. How great is that? Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on our website right now. That's at Sports360AZ.com. We are Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. If you're finding us for the first time, welcome on board. We have fans streaming on through. If you're finding us through AZ Central, we partner with the Arizona Republic. We do our little slice of life here on Monday through Friday mornings at 10 a.m. and have a great time doing it. It's not just football all day and all night. It's things going on right here in our own backyard that I care about. High school, college, pro. Thanks for being with us.